And you know, I like to talk about white supremacy, but you know, people think that white supremacy is a faceless thing. It's the skinhead down the street. Sorry. But the skinhead down the street is my brother. He's just confused. If you give me half an hour, I can teach sense into him. I'm not scared of him. There's no need for me to be scared of him. But the three-piece suit wearing and tie wearing skinhead that I really am scared of is the one who is Secretary General of the Organization of American States, the one who is President of France, the one who is Prime Minister of Canada, who can pick up the President of the Republic of Haiti, the year of Haiti's bicentennial, put the man in a plane and ship him in the middle of the Central African Republic where he knows nobody. That's the skinhead that I'm worried about, because he has the power to implement his pathological sickness. And thousands of people die because we allow these skinheads to implement their sick fantasies. On December 31st, 2003, with my wife Fabienne, with a white American journalist, and I specify white American because when I speak about white supremacy, I want people to understand I'm not talking about white people. White supremacy is a system. And there are white people that are fighting white supremacy, and there are black people who are confused and sick who are supporting white supremacy, such as Colin Powell. And so I faced white supremacy December 31st, 2003, when Luigi Einaudi looked at me with his green eyes. My wife, journalist Kevin Pina, and my friend Marguerite Logan. I don't know what he was drinking before he met us, but at the lobby of Hotel Montana, point blank, the real problem with Haiti is that the international community is so screwed up and divided that they are actually letting Haitians run Haiti. And I actually asked him, sir, who was supposed to be running Haiti? Offering an opportunity to correct what he just said. He said, well, of course, Haitians, but, and I don't remember what kind of crap he said after that. Because his first statement was actually what he thought, and it's not just him. It is what Paul Martin is talking about when he talks about the responsibility to protect. Because there are people who consider themselves to be Tarzan among the natives on this planet. That they're going to go in there and implement their fantasies, you know, their theories about economic development, and then the other people that are in this country are like decorations, just like the mango trees that are there. They have no brains of their own. Let us save them from themselves. People, Tarzan is not real. It's a figment of a white supremacist sick society. It's not real. These people are not stupid. They are poor because they have been impoverished. Just like the native people in Canada are not stupid. They have been robbed of everything they had. And it is our responsibility living on their land to help them reclaim their self. We don't need Tarzan, just like Africa doesn't need Bono. Because while they're talking all this talk about brotherhood and all of that, in July 2003, they demanded that Haiti pays arrears of debt that was contacted by Duvalier, that Duvalier had spent in France with his friend Jacques Chirac and all these other people that are claiming that they don't know where Duvalier is. Because when Duvalier left Haiti, the French said they're going to accept him only for 2 weeks. He's still illegal in France. And the official line of the French is that they don't know where he is. Yet the fool is giving interviews all over the place. Why? Because the millions of dollars that he stole from Haiti, he had spent in France. Just like Bokassa, just like Mobutu, just like all these other dictators that you hear about. $32 million of Haiti's reserve was forced to be taken out and given to the World Bank, to the IDB. And you know how much money was in the reserve at the time? 35. January 1st, 2004, the champions of the democracy that we hear talk about at the UN podium and all these interviews on CNN and Radio Canada were nowhere to be found when the world was convened to celebrate the end of racial slavery and the beginning of civilized life on this continent. Because I dare tell you tonight, as Maria Pumele Uribe, this Afro-Colombian sister, wrote in La Férocité Blanche, Adolf Hitler did not invent anything. Everything Adolf Hitler did in Germany, Napoleon Bonaparte did here in America. George Washington and Thomas Jefferson did right here in America. The difference is that the people that the criminal Adolf Hitler killed were white. And white supremacy will let you believe that there is only one monster in the past century, that it is Adolf Hitler. I'm sorry. If we are still paying homage to Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, it's because we have our brains screwed up. Because these men killed way more people. And the reason why this will never be admitted is that when they were doing the killing, the whole white world was in with them. And if you admit that these are criminals, you will have to admit that what we need to do is not to increase the budget that Canada spends on foreign aid to meet the 0.7%, but in fact to make sure that whatever amount we spend is not dedicated to killing people. Because right now, some of our foreign money is killing people. With a smile, as always, and in the name of Jesus sometimes, because some of it goes through churches. So they were nowhere to be found January 1st. The King of Benin was there. The President of South Africa, Thabo Mbeki, was there. And he received a whole lot of pressure not to go. Our brother, Danny Glover, who is more activist than actor, those of you who will have followed his work on behalf of Cuba, Venezuela, would know that Danny Glover is a fine human being. And he was also pressured. Some of money of his companies who support him were threatened to be pulled, but he said it was his obligation to be among the people celebrating freedom on that day. And I will spare you the reading of what the U.S. Senator said in 1820, but it's the same thing being applied in 2004, 2005. And you need to remember that Haiti ended slavery in 1803, Canada ended slavery only in 1830. Say, Canada, slavery? Yeah. The Canadian history book doesn't say it, but it's not because it doesn't say it that it didn't exist. There were slaves in Montreal. Olivier Lejeune is one of the names. Just look it up. Of course, Canada did not build its economy on slavery like the United States did. But the evil existed here as well. So there was a coup, a kidnapping on February 29th. And the reason why they had to do it is because the thugs that they had paid from the Dominican Republic to come and conduct the coup could not get into Port-au-Prince. Because it's easy for them to take the other cities. Haiti had 4,000 policemen for 27,000 square kilometers. So these guys with their big machine guns who crossed the border, while there were 20,000 US soldiers at the border, by the way, all they had to do is show up at this little blue building called the police station and find those three guys who are holding these little sticks in their hands called guns and say boo, and they run. That's how they took Cap-Haïtien, they took, you know what, but Port-au-Prince was another thing. Because some of the policemen who ran and left Port-au-Prince, left their guns in the poor neighborhoods. And the young men and women in the poor neighborhoods lived the first coup. And whereas I, as a privileged Haitian, grew up in a poor neighborhood who used to be middle class, I saw those soldiers showing up and going and take young men and killing them. But in places like Cité Soleil, the slums, what they actually did is put guns, AK-47 and Uzis on tripod, and at human level, just blast whole neighborhoods. And so these young people knew what was coming their way, because they knew these are the former soldiers coming from the Dominican Republic. And so you end up with the situation right now where you have a whole lot of guns in Port-au-Prince and people are dying right, left, and center. But U.S. congressmen said it. This is a U.S. Congressman saying we are just a part of this coup, because he sat on the committees. He knew his country. President Aristide said that it is white American Marines who came and picked him up and put him in that plane. And there are other people who were there in Haiti, interviewed the day after the coup, without having any connections with Aristide, who corroborated this story. Of course, Colin Powell told us this wasn't so. Colin Powell is also the guy who went to the UN to convince the world that there are these weapons of mass destruction. And so you read in the World Bank that what we have now in Haiti is a window of opportunity. And they're going to implement economic policy reforms that it will be very hard for future government to undo. Future governments mean elected governments, legal governments. So they want to use that opportunity of lawlessness to do what they couldn't do with the black president who wasn't subdued enough, who didn't say yes quick enough. And I will not bore you with the UN lying to try to describe what happened February 29th as anything but a coup. Everybody saw those. You saw those soldiers getting into cities after cities. Everybody was watching the TV. They were burning police stations and killing policemen. Why didn't the UN do anything then, when there was a legal government to be protected according to international law, the accords that nations have among themselves? No. The day of the coup, when we have Canadian soldiers, and we have pictures of them on the RCMP, I forgot to put them down on this picture for you to see, your soldiers paid with our tax money standing at the Haitian airport the day of February 29th. Yet it is the evening of February 29th that the UN, in what we call a meeting of bats, you know, because it's at night when nobody's watching, they had this meeting, Réunion Chauve-Souris, we call it in Haitians. And that's when they approved the presence of foreign troops in Haiti. Yet foreign troops were there the night before, taking the president out. Your own Canadian soldiers at the Haitian National Airport. And these fools are actually displaying their pictures on the RCMP website, because they know that we don't know. And most of us don't care. The problem is that Haitians are running Haiti. So they have an idea. Let non-Haitians run Haiti. Such as this man, André Appel, who is actually an American citizen and owner of a whole lot of sweatshops. This man, George Satie, who has his website, moun.com, where you will see people calling for the slaughter of people in the poor neighborhoods because they consider them to be scum. And their solution is to do just like they do in Brazil, just go in the poor neighborhoods and get rid of those scums. And he is pictured there with Jeb Bush, the next president of the United States to be selected by a group of Georgia's near you. And this is there with the former president of Dominican Republic. These guys are paying gang leaders to go kill people. And when they finish using them, they get rid of them. This guy Labanier, who killed a whole lot of people in Cité Soleil, the other day just disappeared. After publication of this report by Thomas Griffin, clearly indicating that he was being paid by one of the rich Haitians, owner of 15 sweatshops, this guy. I use this. This is actually from a website of French activist, and to talk to you about CIDA, our own Canadian International Development Agency that we are so proud of. CIDA is financing some front groups in Haiti that are considered left groups who participated in some very nasty things in Haiti. In fact, the man who is the second in command in the so-called Haitian Justice Ministry right now is an employee of CIDA. Totally illegal. A minister in a foreign government, an employee of CIDA. You see, when we are bragging about how generous Canada is, we need to remember that the Prime Minister of Canada went to Ethiopia to distribute a whole lot of Canadian flags in the hands of, you know, these big-bellied black children. You know what the Prime Minister of Canada was inaugurating that day? Anybody wants to guess? A university? A well. Did I pronounce this well in English? A well. You know, like Jesus was by the well and he met the Samaritan woman? The Prime Minister of one of the richest countries in the world goes to Ethiopia to inaugurate a well. And he's giving a whole bunch of little Canadian flags and, oh, we are so generous. But don't think Jean Chrétien was the bad Prime Minister. When Paul Martin went to Haiti, what do you think he brought? He collected $2,000 from a primary school in Montreal and brought that to the Haitian government. You see, it's not sufficient to have colonized people, but you have to humiliate them. And in January 2003, when people were bragging about supporting democracy in Haiti, the Vatican, you know, where we have our great new pope, Ratzinger, the Vatican, one of the richest states in the world, pledged to help support democracy in Haiti. And how many millions did they give? $5,000. You go on the OAS website today and you will find it. And when Argentina heard that, it said, hey, we are a great nation of Latin America, let's give $6,000. And there was a Haitian NGO based in the United States who said, okay, what the hell is this? I'll give $10,000. Making fun of people. People dying. Where HIV at the time was 6.1%. It is thanks to the effort of the government of IRC that it went down to 5.5%. $5,000. And of course, that's exactly what we're doing. When we send a newly graduated child from here to go to Haiti to teach the peasants how to, you know, grow mangoes, what the hell does a child from here know about growing mangoes in Haiti? Who is getting the aid here? And most of the money is going to pay this expert. Who are we fooling? You exchange money among yourselves and you ask the Haitians to say thank you? This is cynical. And that's what we've been doing. Because our so-called left progressive community is only out there asking for us to spend the 0.7% that we pledge. I'm sorry, the 0.7% won't do it. You're going to have to work to get the people to have access to their own resources. That means the diamond of the Congo. That means the gold of the Congo. That means the reparations of the Haitians. That's what it's about. Otherwise, we are lying to each other. We're lying to each other. Today, 95% of the human population is dying because we are practicing not what Jesus taught, but what the hypocrites are teaching. That is, you go in front of the church, you see the guy who is the homeless guy begging, and you find 25 cents, you give him, and you change the channel. Forget about him, man. I got someplace else to go. I just gave him 25 cents. The hell with that. Just like we do on TV. We see World Vision. Say, hey, I'll adopt a child. Hey, that's a cheap child, man. You just send, you know, $5. $5 can go a long way. That's what we're doing. Why couldn't we help the mother of that child to take care of his child just like you'd like to take care of your child? And that means to help them to have their government in their own country and access to their own resources. Just like here, we are protective of the resources that we have. If all these dying babies were blonde and blue eyes, we would have understood what we needed to do to help them. Let us just treat humanity as humanity. And stop the hypocrisy. Prime Minister Paul Martin went to Haiti and he saw no evil, but he spoke a whole lot of evil, saying that there are no political prisoners in Haiti. And Prime Minister Paul Martin, if you're listening, if anybody in here knows him, tell him he's lying. And it hurts, because the people that are dying are true human beings. Denis Paradis, to justify his participation in this coup, was interviewed by Canadian journalist Anthony Fenton, who's also a white Canadian, a brother. And Denis Paradis, this fool, said, what I'm saying is that there were strong, strong rumors that Aristide had diverted a lot of millions of dollars outside the country. And I think it's a crime to do that in a country poor like that. Actually, Denis Paradis, it's also a crime to do it right here in Canada, and that's what we're finding with the sponsorship scandal. It doesn't matter which country you're stealing from, it's a crime. But I ask you in this room, what the hell is strong, strong rumors? Since when was this the basis to conduct our foreign policy? So, I mean, there are strong, strong rumors that the president of South Africa diverted funds. Hey, let's go overthrow him. We'll have a big mass of land. We can do a lot of stuff with that. We can help the rest of Africa with that, right? Strong, strong rumors. This is a minister. A Canadian minister. And so we wrote to Prime Minister Paul Martin to tell him what was in our mind on November 4, 2004, to tell him that under his leadership, Canada has chosen to side with the illegal regime change agenda of the US and France. And we asked him to let it be clear that his actions and words on this file do not speak for us. Because those things are conducted not in the name of Paul Martin, but in your name, in my name, with my money, because I speak to you today as a Canadian as well, because I spent a whole lot of money in this country that I could have invested in my birth country if those fools stopped conducting coup d'etat in my country. And so this is what's happening in Haiti today. The UN guy, the Brazilian who is the head of the UN force, quoted here in November saying that we must kill the bandits, but it will have to be the bandits only, not everybody. I sure hope so. I'd like to see the rest of my family someday. And you see, people don't understand that this coup wasn't conducted against one man. It's not Jean-Bertrand Aristide who was overthrown February 29th, 2004. It was all the elected officials. Over thousands, like over 2,000 people, that the Haitians woke up at 4 in the morning, line up to vote. Hungry people doing that for me and for my children so they can have a future in the country of their ancestors. And with a slap like that, just undid all that investment. And so, while you had a mayor of Port-au-Prince who was elected, an assistant mayor who was elected, now you have a criminal put in there by the coup regime and the foreign sponsors who are making these kinds of statements. I ask you today, if we took Paul Bernardo, Carla Homolka, and we put them as Prime Minister of Canada and Mayor of Halifax. What kind of hell would you be living in? If we cannot do that here, why do we do it there? So you have Jean-Philippe Sassine, Assistant Mayor of Port-au-Prince, never elected by anybody Haitian, but put in there by the United States, saying, shoot them and ask questions later. Right now, our country needs security. Unless you clean up the bad people, the gangs, there will be no progress. It will have to be a massacre. People will die, but let us do it, or it will be worse. This is a criminal speaking. And every nation has criminals. But if Timothy McVeigh is not fit to lead the United States of America, I tell you, Jean-Philippe Sassine is not fit to be Assistant Mayor of Port-au-Prince. But I need your help. We need your help so these fools can stop killing people and their sponsors stop hiding behind them, pretending that it's black-on-black crime, they're not involved. It's not simple black-on-black crime. Yes, we have criminals in our country. Yes, we have a tragic elite that betrayed the people. But it's not just them. And it's not one or the other. It's not as if it's, you know, I spend all the time here talking to you about white supremacy, therefore it's only the external factors. No, the internal factor is also there. But it's hand in hand. Our criminals are working with your criminals and they're committing crimes all over the world. As we speak today, thousands of people are dying in Iraq because we didn't do what we needed to do to save their lives. And they're dying all over the world. And they are dying right now. And this white American man, Thomas Griffin, a true Christian, and he was crying sincere tears when he was presenting this document in Ottawa the other day. And he delivered that to the Prime Minister of Canada. We were there, we documented it, we filmed it. Because when he went there, he didn't even own a camera, he borrowed a camera, and within 2 weeks, he saw things that the Associated Press, Reuters, CNN, Radio Canada, all of them are pretending to not know about. This young man that you see here dead are no different than me. The difference between them and me is that my father, having entered the Episcopalian Church, had access to an education and a source of revenue so he could take me out of Haiti to get an education. These boys don't have that choice. They have to die in the ghetto. And if they don't have a gun, when the soldiers come, they will kill them. So they get a gun. And what I'm talking to you here is very real, because in 2001, I believe, I returned home. And my wife and I, we met a boy that we had helped get a job when we were in Haiti. And my cousins fired him because they said, you know, they found him with a gun and he was arrested because he had a gun in his hand. And I confronted him and I said, you know, Lolo, why are you using a gun when, you know, I mean, you have a job, you know, you can change your life and all of that. But he looked at me and he said, we don't live the same lives. And he was right. Because when we would close our ice cream parlor in Haiti, Lolo and I, we work in the same ice cream parlor, but we weren't living the same reality. I close the ice cream parlor, I walk home with him, he drops me home, and I get inside my home that has a balcony. It's not a beautiful home by Canadian standards, but it's an amazing home compared to where Lolo lives. And I enter my home, you know, I don't have good electricity, but I have an inverter. Lolo has to walk the mountain of Caridad to get to his place. And he has to pass a number of Tonton Macoute's house. He doesn't know if he's going to make it home. So when he has a gun, it's not the same thing as me going to get a gun just for fun. I don't know if Lolo is alive today. But what I'm telling you is that this racism and classism that they are using to make us believe that the people that are stuck in the ghettos are there because they want to be there is sick. Who wants to live like that? So they just destroy this man. And Tom Griffin was giving us information about the role that Canada is playing in all of this. A man named Felix Vissamar, an employee of CEDA, being paid with your money to do that kind of stuff. But we also have thugs like the Canadian ambassador to Haiti, whom I had the privilege and the pleasure to confront in Ottawa. And he's quoted here in Embassy News, "We hope that Aristide is going to disappear. I believe that he should never come back. We hope that the inquiry will show Aristide is guilty of so many criminal actions." Can you imagine the ambassador of Botswana to Canada saying that he hopes the Gomery inquiry is going to find Paul Martin guilty of so many crimes? A diplomat does not hope in a foreign country. And when we confronted this guy, telling him that the coup in Haiti, he said, "No, there was no coup." The people in the room had to tell him, "Listen, sir, don't insult our intelligence. The coup already took place. It's enough. Not come here and try to pretend that it wasn't a coup." Young man, 25-year-old, killed in January of this year in liberated Haiti. And the UN will pretend that they weren't involved in his killing, because what they do, they send the Haitian police first to do the killing, and they stay there as backup. Yet, report from Harvard just mentioned that they actually participate in the killing. And this is what they're doing. They put pictures of a whole lot of these young people that are in the poor neighborhoods, and they are marked to be killed. And they're called chimère. And anybody who study genocide know that one of the tactics you have to use first is to give a name to the target population, so that when you get rid of them, it's like you're killing scum. They did the same thing in Germany. They're doing it in Haiti today. Yet, the small arms survey that was just conducted the other day by the Geneva-based organization found that most of the guns are not at the hands of the gangs. They're actually at the hands of the wealthy Haitians, who have created an apartheid state. Therefore, they have to live in these compounds to protect their properties, because they never understood what Aristide meant by increasing the minimum wage. These people are stupid. They're already ahead of the game. They don't need to do that. But now they're all crying because they don't know what to do. The whole thing is a mess, even those who conducted the coup. And the American ambassador is trying now to fix things and say that actually the soldiers that they had used to overthrow Aristide are now aligned with Aristide in order to better destroy Aristide's party. But Haitians know what's going on. They've been screaming what's going on all these years, but nobody is listening. This was a demonstration that I caught by surprise while I was in Haiti in December 2003. And to organize the overthrow of Aristide, what they did is organize 3-4 demonstrations a week. And at the time when they organize, the rich Haitians organize these demonstrations, they demand that they follow a certain route to paralyze all activities. And the government tries to negotiate, and the U.S. ambassador shows up and says, "Hey, there has to be freedom of, you know, assembly, demonstration, etc." And sometimes the American ambassador participates in the demonstrations. And these women took to the streets in December because they were saying that these daily demonstrations, followed by strikes, are stopping their kids from going to school. And this is something I witnessed myself. While they close the schools in the city where the poor people live, the schools up the hills in the mountains where the rich Haitians send their kids under full guard were operating. And this woman was saying that when I interviewed her, I said, why are you demonstrating? I'm demonstrating because these rich people want our kids to die illiterate. Because these are illiterate women, but they understand that there is nothing pretty about illiteracy. They are spending all they have in education. And that's why they say they will not forget Lavalas. Because under the Aristide government, we had the first universal schooling program. For the first time, we had a national literacy program. And under health and education, we had the Peace University at Tabar, the very first university ever in Haiti where children of peasants were dreaming, and actually some of them becoming, medical doctors. And it is thanks to the collaboration with Cuba that we were doing that. Because there were, and I met some of these Cuban doctors, over 800 of them in Haiti, and over 247 medical students from Haiti studying to become doctors in Cuba. And the only thing they signed, the Haitian state pays for their lodging in Cuba, and their pledge is that when they go back to Haiti, they're not going to go to Port-au-Prince, but to wherever their community where they come from. Because we have a major problem, just like we have in Venezuela, where the fools that the state paid their education to become doctors consider themselves too precious to go where the patients are. And you know what happened to that university after the coup? It's a military camp. That's where the U.S. installed their soldiers. And when the U.S. left, they left it to the U.N. There's 247 students, no place to go. That's liberating Haiti. Of course, I could talk to you about the other things that Lavalas had done. Nothing amazing, because you go to Haiti, at the time of Aristide, it was as poor as it was ever was. The difference was that Aristide was their choice. And when he made some bad economic decisions, for instance, falling under the pressure of the United States and created those free trade zones at the border, Haitians demonstrated against him. But they didn't call for his overthrow. How many of you here would like George Bush to come and get rid of Chrétien for you? Or Martin? I forget which one is now. No one here would want that. Even the most anti-Martin person, even myself. I would fight to death to protect the fact that it is Canadians who are supposed to choose their leadership. And so when people come to me and say that, well, yes, but Aristide was no saint. Well, you show me your saint and I'll show you my perfect angels. Why is it that black leaders have to be saints in order to even survive a mandate? I mean, Aristide does not have the support that he had in 1991. Do you know what the approval rating of Jean Charest is today? 15%. Do we get rid of him? Let's go. Let's get some thugs from the CIA to get rid of Jean Charest. Why not? Why is it we have two different levels? One for white leaders and one for black leaders. What the hell is that? Let us treat them equally. Why is it we use the word dictatorship so easily to associate it with a black leader, yet nobody has ever called Vladimir Putin a dictator? Why? Why, if it's not the elephant in the room that everybody is pretending not to see? Racism. We have a sick society today because white supremacy was not overthrown. We had compromises, we made some changes, we tweaked it. But you and I today in this room know that the next Prime Minister of Canada is not going to be Native Canadian. You and I have the guarantee that it's not going to be a woman. Because we have not done what we need to do for true equality and justice to take place in our societies. And so this is what's happening. Women are being raped. This is a report from Lynn Duff in March of this year, saying women and young girls are raped because their father or another relative is a member of Lavalas or is targeted by the political opposition. And Ravix Ramisen, one of the soldiers that was used by the CIA to overthrow Aristide, was saying it in plain terms back in December. He claimed, if they give us the order in 3 days, we will clear Bel Air and Cité Soleil of bandits. This is the poor neighborhoods, the slums. Now the government has called us outlaws. But the justice minister came to see me after Aris's departure to personally congratulate me for a job well done. But you see, like in movies, not everybody understands their parts. This guy was pressuring the de facto government that he helped put in power to have the military reinstated right away. Well, that's not the plot of the film. What the plot is to slowly put the soldiers within the Haitian police and still call it a police force and conduct the repression, but not let the world know that they have reinstated the army, and wait till after they put their next so-called elected puppet Uncle Tom government, and then say that, oh, it's just out of a legal system that we return officially with the army. This fool is like the guy who wears the red suit in Star Trek, the First Generation, and goes fight the alien, and not realizing that he can't afford to do the things that Spock does, because he's going to get killed. See, Spock will come back. We all know that. But the guy wearing the red suit named Paul is going to get killed. Just like for the longest time, if you're a black guy in a white action movie, you're going to get killed. How many people here saw Eraser? You know Arnold Schwarzenegger, where he fly after the plane? You remember Vanessa Williams? I was watching this film with my wife and I ruined it. I always tell the story. And we were in the theater, and I noticed that Vanessa Williams has a black boyfriend. And I said to Fabian, I give him 5 minutes, he's dead. What the hell are you doing in the movie with Vanessa Williams when the actor is Arnold Schwarzenegger? I'm telling you, man, I closed my mouth and the guy came in, boom. Fabian said, you know, I'm not going to go to movies with you anymore. You just have to know your place. This guy didn't know his place. He didn't understand the plot. They killed him this month. And it is reported that they killed him when he didn't even have a gun in his hand. He was at his knees begging for his life and they shot him. And the UN is trying to pretend that it was a battle. Yet when there was a real battle between the UN forces and the soldiers in Petit Goave, there were 2 casualties on both sides. Yet when they killed these guys, nobody got hurt in the UN side. It was an ambush. His expiry date arrived and he didn't know it. What can you do? Let's be real. Do not be Bono. Do not be Tarzan. We don't need superheroes. What we need is ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And that's you. That's me. That's anybody in this room. That's these women who stood up in Ireland, in Dublin, Ireland, the anniversary of this coup, to condemn the coup. What the hell do people in Ireland have to do with Haiti? They have 23 pairs of chromosomes. That's what they have in common. And they understand that. And so our real problem is to listen to the Haitian people. Listen. Stop devising plans to go and save them from themselves. Because they are saying something different than Luigi Einaudi, who said that the real problem with Haiti is that the international community, which is the code word for the white world, is letting Haitians run Haiti. The Haitian people are saying something different. They're saying that the problem is entrapment in a cycle of poverty, debt, dependency, and foreign manipulation. That's the diagnosis of the person who is sick. Listen to the person who is telling you what the diagnosis is. And the second thing, I'm only asking you two things. Help implement solutions identified by Haitians for Haitians. And among those solutions, self-determination. Political leadership established by Haitians, not by Washington, not by Ottawa. I know that we have people in Ottawa who actually think that Canada is such a cold place, we need to have a little place in the Caribbean where it's just too cold, we can just go there. Well, I suggest to you, we don't need to conduct a coup to have that. Anybody will tell you, white Americans, white Canadians, that they have gone to Haiti, and despite all this history of racism that I just told you, a white person goes to Haiti is welcome. There's no xenophobia in Haiti. People don't hate white people in Haiti. And I saw this racist email back a few months ago where they were saying that in Haiti, the thugs were targeting white Canadians. And I told them, I challenge you to identify one white person who has been killed during all these turmoils. None. Because what people are looking for is not revenge. They're looking for respect. And so if you go, and as our saying goes in our culture, when you go to somebody's door, you knock and you say, "One." And the response is, brother? Respect. That's how we say hello. When we go into the peasant's house, you knock and you say, "One," and they say, "Respect." It's honor, respect. And the peasant serves you coffee and prepares the bed, the nice bed in the room, and give it to you. And I have to say honestly that I have faith in humanity, because when I came here in Halifax, I didn't meet Haitian people. But the white lady I went to the place treated me exactly the same way as Haitian peasants treat people. One respect. And anybody who's lived in West Canada, who comes to East Canada, will tell you, I'm not saying that to flatter you, because it's true. You people are just beautiful. Walking down the street here in Halifax, the car stops for you before you cross the street. You do that in Toronto, you'd be dead. Now, I'm not saying that there are not problems here. But what I'm saying, though, is that humanity is humanity wherever you go on this planet. And there are no good people and bad people. What you need to do is force people to do good. Even the bad people can do good. Political leadership established by Haitians. No more CIA coup d'etat. If we even had that alone, we'd be fine. Economic justice. Let us have access to our own resources. I don't need CEDA to spend 0.7%. No, thank you, because a lot of this aid is poison. And certain friends are better not to be had. Return the $22 billion that France has stolen from Haiti, and we will call it quit. The French can close their Alliance Française in Haiti. We don't need it. Just return the $22 billion. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Then you can come as a tourist and pay the tariff at the airport. Like I do when I go to France. Cancellation of Haiti's upside down debt. We don't owe crap to nobody. You know why? Because we've already paid our debt. 300 years of slavery. And when Thomas Sankara, the African leader, called African leaders in the 60s to tell them, listen, we're not going to pay anything anymore starting that day, the French did exactly what they did in Haiti. They killed Thomas Sankara. But Thomas Sankara is not on your dollar bill. George Washington is. Thomas Sankara is not a hero. Because Thomas Sankara belongs to the group of people judged guilty until proven innocent by their enemies. Whereas the white leaders have the privilege of being innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. You have two different types of people on this planet still. true solidarity, what I call the Jesus model. And it's funny, the Jesus model is not being practiced by the most Christian nation of America, but by the atheist communist nation of Cuba. And you know why? You know why the Jesus model is not being practiced by the Christian nation? It's because the Christian church is not the church of Jesus. They are the ones who killed Jesus. Because when he entered the temple and he saw the thieves there, he kicked them out. What he was talking about was, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. That's what Cuba's been doing all over Latin America. That's the Jesus model. But the people who claim to be the followers of Jesus, they're dropping bombs in Iraq. They're using the CIA to kill progressive leaders and supporting dictators all over the place. But you don't have to help. But if you're not helping, please leave us alone. The very least that we can ask is that they let Haiti live. Because anybody can tell you, a man who is hungry, who may have resigned himself to die, the last thing they need is somebody just talking nonsense to their ear. Don't show up with that $5,000 to support democracy in Haiti. Keep that. Buy some McDonald's with it. Let Haiti live. That's what the people have been saying. And of course, I say Haiti. It's not Haiti. Let the African people on this planet live. Because the conditions that are in Haiti are right here in Halifax. I was today driving in North Preston. I saw it. Nobody is enslaved here. But we got a mess here. Let the First Nations people live. And if we don't watch out, a whole lot of poor whites are going to get killed in this country. And you know how they're going to get killed? In those stupid wars that these rich men are conducting all over the world, trying to convince you that the whole world hates whitey. That's crap. What, we not live in, you know, the world when, you know, we had the white world, the black world. We're all over the place. You don't have anybody who hates you out there. What they hate is the poverty that they're living. And you are a victim of it too. Why is it we have all this homeland security crap? Everybody's afraid. I went to France the other day and I was filming the, what's that thing they built? The Eiffel Tower with the sweat of my ancestors. And, you know, this French guy came, no, before I tell you that, I had my camera and I was filming. All of a sudden, I was encircled by six soldiers with their guns and everything, asking me what I'm doing. Yet I was doing the same thing everybody else was doing with their video cameras. The man is scared of me with a video camera. And I didn't make things good for them, because later on, when they saw how I answered them, they sent two police officers to talk to me. But this time, you know what they did? They sent two black ones. A man and a woman. And then they asked me, you know, sir, what are you doing here? Are you on vacation? I said, no, I'm not on vacation. I go on vacation in Haiti. When I come to France, I come to document what you have stolen from me. And I took the opportunity to tell him that I just came back from a meeting with brothers and sisters from around the world. We were in England with the African Socialist International. And one of the resolutions that we passed at that meeting was that Africans that are serving in those colonial armies should refuse every order they receive to kill their own people. Because we don't understand what's happening here. I have a friend of mine who is a peace activist who lives in New York, and he has his 19-year-old son in Iraq today. Your children might end up fighting the wars of Jeb Bush, because he's going to be president of the United States. Because we're all sleeping. We don't realize what's happening to us. Because they're convincing us that we have enemies out there that hate us because we have democracy. That's the worst crap I've ever heard. They hate you because you have democracy? What about because you are using their oil to enrich yourselves and impoverish themselves? What about because you're taking their diamond in Sierra Leone and they're dying and they see it and they recognize the truth? And it's not you that they hate. They hate the ugliness. It's not the sinner that needs to be destroyed. It's the sin. But the sinner has to open its ears to listen. You got to take action. You can't just come here and feel good that you've listened and, you know, I feel good that I came here and I talked to you and we go home. And that won't do it. We have to take action. And there's all kinds of stuff we can do. We can organize. We can join the solidarity action wherever it is possible. There's the Canada-Haiti Action Network. It's you can see the site there. There is the Haiti restitution claim, which is online. A whole lot of people have already signed that restitution claim on ipetition.com. And there is May 18th, which is the International Solidarity Day with Haiti, to let the people that they're calling chimere and thugs in Haiti know that they are not alone. Because if they are a chimere, if they are a thug, I am a thug. Because when I was in Haiti and I saw these brothers and sisters and was dancing with them, the crime I saw them committing was this: showing the sign of resistance, which means 5 years. They elected their president for 5 years. They don't want anybody to steal from that 5 years. That's why you see them with those 5 years. They're not saying black power. They're not saying poor power. Because there's nothing beautiful about poverty. What they're saying is respect their vote. And I stand with them. Please stay informed, because I didn't come here to talk to you as Jesus, therefore you should take everything I say as gospel truth. I have a certain perspective because of where I grew up, because of who I am, but it's not the whole truth. But I can swear to you that I didn't try to deceive you tonight. But get informed. Don't get lazy. Don't just take this easy association of black leadership, dictator. Because there's a reason why the peace movement did not endorse the Haiti movement as they endorse other cases. Yet, what happens to Haiti is exactly what happened to Venezuela. Some of these things, they rehearse them in Haiti, they practice them in Venezuela, they rehearse them in Venezuela and practice them in Haiti. Even the names of the fake organizations they created. Why is it that we cannot pass through the idea that Aristide was a dictator, which is based on strong, strong rumors? And the final thing that I'll say, after apologizing for having taken so much time and not leaving enough time for questions, is to speak to the idea of hypocrisy. We can all pretend to love each other. When they were lynching people in the United States, it was a family happening. People holding their 5-year-old children with their Bibles in their hands, singing "How Sweet the Name of Jesus," and then burning an African woman, an African man. We see today leaders around the world pushing each other to take a picture with Nelson Mandela. Why? Because he's the perfect black leader. You know, sanctified by the white world, yet not threatening. 85 years old, not leading any country, having lost 27 years of his productive life. Nelson Mandela is perfect. Yet, Nelson will remind them that when I was rotting in jail, it was Gaddafi who helped me, not the President of the United States of America, not the Prime Minister of Canada. You see, everybody likes Nelson Mandela today. But do you realize that it's only recently that they removed his name from the list of terrorists? Nelson Mandela, yeah, the Nelson Mandela. And do you realize that his wife, this beautiful woman, who fought with everything she got, went to jail. Yet Frederick de Klerk, P.W. Botha, all these criminals of apartheid era, you know, are tanning on the beaches of South Africa. We have a sick world. I love President Thabo Mbeki, but I feel sick every day that I think that Winnie Mandela was allowed to go to jail on the basis that there was violence to overthrow South African apartheid. Where do we have our priorities in this world? Even Nelson Mandela's Nobel Peace Prize, they couldn't bring themselves to give the whole thing to the men. They cut half of it and gave it to de Klerk. I'm not saying that de Klerk didn't need to get anything, but give Mandela his whole Peace Prize, please. No. See, the model is you are a good African leader when you agree not to tell the truth, not to face the reality. And I say we need to stop that. And African leaders have been guilty of treating white people as if they are children and sheltering them from the truth. You need to hear the truth, because while you're hearing all kinds of fake talk from the so-called leaders of the black world, our people are dying. They are dying all over the world. And it is not true that AIDS is killing all these Africans because they're not living right. It's killing them because they don't have access to the medication that the people who have AIDS in Europe, in North America, have access to. That's why. And so, this issue of Nelson Mandela brings us to Martin Luther King. Remember, Toussaint Louverture, good. Jean-Jacques Dessalines, bad. Martin Luther King, good. Malcolm X, bad. We have a very simple world. Everything is fixed for us. We don't even need to think anymore. But Martin Luther King, it's the same thing. Before he finally got that holiday, Martin Luther King was considered, you know, a radical. The church, the Baptist church, said that he was not a true Christian because he was always talking politics instead of preaching the good word of Jesus. Why? Because he saw a crime being committed against people in the United States and he stood up against it. And he didn't stand up only for black people. He stood up for the poor whites who were getting killed in Vietnam. And that's why they killed them. Because Martin Luther King and the white movement were starting to get it together. But Martin Luther King said something, and that's why I'm naming him today, that I think is profound and speaks to the issue of Haiti properly. We will have to repent in this generation, not merely for the hateful words and actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence of the good people. Thank you.